1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is explaining after acknowledging the East Wing is being entirely demolished to make room for a massive ballroom at the White House.
In order to do it properly, we had to take down the existing structure. The way it was shown, it looked like we were touching the White House. We don't touch the White House.
California Governor Gavin Newsom speaking out after the president ordered federal agents to San Francisco.
He needs to create conditions for anxiety. He needs to create the conditions that he can, quote unquote, then solve for. So what does he do? He sends out masked men. He sends out Border Patrol.
Newsom posting his comments to X. Now to Broadway.
You'll be back. Time will tell.
King George will still have those bouncy beats behind him when the curtain goes up on Hamilton tonight. The Musicians Union has just announced a tentative agreement with producers, averting a strike that would have silenced almost two dozen musicals. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A group of Republican state lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to expand access to firearms. The legislative package would make firearms, ammunition, and other items exempt from sales tax on the 4th of July and during the third week of December each year. It would also allow residents to conceal carry their firearms without a license and strengthen the language protecting the right to keep and bear arms in the state constitution. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has vetoed similar firearm legislation in the past. Multiple signs have been taken down by the Rome Police Department. They were removed because the signs were incorrectly placed and violated the Rome ordinance. Temporary signs cannot be closer than 10 feet to the edge of the road surface and no closer than 30 feet from each side of a driveway. They also cannot be placed in the easement. Town Board Chairperson Carl Hasdahl said they have the signs back and they are being redistributed. Day of Caring is this Saturday. The United Way is still looking for volunteers as they have over 90 yards that need raking. The day starts with a hot pancake breakfast, and you'll be assigned yards to rake with a team of people. You should plan to bring your own rake and gloves if you can. You can find out more information by calling Jessica at 715-421-0390 or by visiting uwswac.org. Tonight is the vigil for victims of domestic violence. The Wisconsin Rapids Family Center is holding the vigil at 6 p.m. at McMillan Library. Last year, 99 people in Wisconsin were killed due to domestic violence, and that's an increase from 85 the previous year. The vigil remembers victims and will also recognize community members who've shown extraordinary support for the Family Center's mission. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Will Watson return? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Packers wide receiver Christian Watson has been rehabbing after suffering a torn ACL at the end of last season. Will this be the week Watson returns?
My goal and my plan is to play this week. I'd say I could have played last week too, to be honest, but you know, obviously just kind of make sure, you know, I'm hearing, you know, everybody's opinions on everything and just being as smart as possible about it.
The Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. NBA, the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 37 points, the most in his career on an opening night, in a 133-120 victory over the Washington Wizards, but guard Kevin Porter Jr. undergoing an MRI for a severely sprained left ankle. How is he doing early in the game?
Just his defensive pressure, couple steals, deflections, and then just his half-court defense, him and our whole group, led to us a ton of runouts. It might have been the most advanced passes we've had.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with highs in the mid to upper 40s here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy and frosty. We are going to drop into the mid to upper 20s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
The Dunks.
Driving down the lane to the rim, and he rips it down with a right hand.
The Daggers.
Got it! Got it! And a foul! John Blackwell is feeling it.
The exclamation points.
Jack on the run down the lane to the rim, and he sends it down!
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Again! And that's 100 for the Wisconsin Badgers.
You're on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Ooh, boo!
Did I scare you?
Probably not, but I bet your aunt's mystery casserole for the holidays is going to scare your socks off. Why take a chance on a frightening meal this holiday? Take the fear out of the holidays with El Cafe in Port Edwards. Order your favorite items, have them delivered, and relax. The holidays can be frightful enough. Call 715-887-2213. That's 715-887-2233. Let El Cafe take the fear out of your holiday.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by UW-Madison Professor of Military History, John Hall. We dig into what is going on in the current moment and its historical echoes of our past.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning once again, 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Thursday morning. It's October 23rd. Chad Holmes standing by from Wausau. Sean O'Malley's going to talk to us about your money and the markets. And Joseph Becky's going to talk to us about Wisconsin politics and beyond. And also being one of the chief Milwaukee Bucks fans of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, he might have some impressions on Game 1 as the Milwaukee Bucks start the season 1-0. After upending the Washington Wizards last night. Let's see, over in the mailbag here from YouTube, Rob in Tigerton says, good morning from Tigerton, partly cloudy, 37 degrees. I had a meeting in Shawano, then had lunch with my family at Luigi's in Shawano. It was great food. And he's already looking ahead to the Packers playing in Pittsburgh this weekend against Aaron Rodgers. That's a Sunday night game. And he notes the Packers, the last time they won in Pittsburgh was when Bart Starr was quarterback back in 1970. I mean, it's not like we play in Pittsburgh every year. We don't. But I guess since 1970, we haven't done so good about that. You probably hear about that from people like Chad Holmes because he doesn't just have the big high school sports show. He follows all the sports and joins us from 98.9 WXCO, where you can also hear in the background, listening in Wausau, you hear this big sigh of relief coming from the mayor, Doug Denny, now that special prosecutor Eric Toney, the Fond du Lac County DA, has decided to run for attorney general. Probably won't have any time now, Chad, to look into the mayor, you know, purloining a drop box and moving it from its designated spot. I think the mayor's off the hook on this one now. I think he's going to skate. Oh, wait, he was going to anyway with Eric Toney as special prosecutor.
Two things. Number one, the Packers beat Pittsburgh 20-12 in 1970 in what would be, I believe, Bart Starr's last win as starting quarterback in his career with the Green Bay Packers. And number two, Doug Denny. Yes, I mean, was there ever any doubt when Eric Toney was named the special counsel, whatever you want to call it? And the thing that's interesting about the mayor, and we did have in the past week the ethics committee say that he did something wrong, which I think is significant. I think, you know, at this point, whether or not he does have any, I would call, tangible consequences to this, I do think it's still important that this group, after all these months, after all this pressure, did decide, hey, that yes, he did something wrong and that he deserves to be said so, that he did break ethics rules in his movement of the Dropbox. But another thing that I will add is it's not changing who Doug Denny is. The mayor of Wausau right now, just today, a headline in the Wausau Daily Herald is that he's threatening to veto the budget, that he is, you know, upset that the council's budget actually involves any kind of taxes. because, I mean, if you look at the issues involved, that there are things that just naturally the prices go up on, and that you have to make adjustments. And in the big picture, the policies at the federal government affect the policies of the state government, the policies of the state government affect the policies of the county and local governments. So Doug Dinney is just, his first thing is he put out a release saying that, hey, oh, the first thing that the council wants to do is raise taxes. Well, I agree 100% that every dollar of taxpayer funds needs to be guarded with your life, and that anything that we do spend on needs to be vetted exceptionally tightly. But the whole the problem is that on the other side is they will never, ever touch a dollar of taxes to the Ulines of the world, or the Diane Hendricks of the world, or all the wealthy people of the world. There has to be something in between that we have to start to, in terms of working on these budgets, where there's red lines all the time. You will never see a Republican do what George H.W. Bush did, is said, this pledge doesn't work, that we have to actually come together and make a deal, because then it ruined his standing within the Republican Party. We have not seen anybody with any kind of courage on that realm in the 25, 30 years since then.
And what they have proven since then is this. Like you said, there is middle ground in there someplace. But it is not middle ground to say that we're, you know, read my lips, no new taxes. Because at that point, when they say, well, we're not going to raise taxes, and so you're going to have to tighten your belts more. You know, we can't help it if you can't keep up with inflation. You're just going to have to cut things. Well, when you're saying that, you are doing the bidding of the billionaires. Because like you just said, we're not going to raise Diane Hendricks taxes. We're not going to raise John Menard's taxes. We're not going to raise Dick Eline's taxes. You know, we're going to just make a school district or make a city deal with inflation without any new dollars. That's what 70% or so of school districts are seeing right now, with that 0% increase in general state aid. Well, inflation ain't 0%, folks. And so either they got to come back to the public through a referendum, or hope that a legislature is going to recognize that there's inflation, maybe raise taxes at the top end of the margins, and help adequately fund our schools. And if they're not doing that, like I said, in my book, they're just doing the bidding of the billionaires in the first place.
And the things that more money is needed for in the WASA budget, and I will say thanks to WASA Daily Herald reporter Eric Fonts for putting this in his story, because he says, what are the significant additions to the budget? And one is a 3% cost of living raise for non-union city employees and a $4 raise for employees represented by police and fire unions. That is not up to the level of inflation for the past year, is it? I mean, you're not giving an overwhelming raise for these employees. There's a net increase of $175,000 for homeless shelter costs, which I think, and anybody that lives here in WASA knows, that is a very vital issue. There's a renewal of the trash and recycling contract and a $400,000 increase, an increase in about $293,000 for debt service on capital projects. I mean, these are things where these are the prices of doing business in our community. And I have no problem at looking at some other discretionary spending and trying to be as frugal as possible. But you also have to look at the other side of it as well. And when you're number one priority is, I'm never going to ask anybody that is doing well to maybe give a little bit more in order for the betterment of our whole community. Then you have this loggerhead that nothing ever gets done with.
Right. And we hear all the time, well, what it really is it's a spending problem. No, it's a tax
system. That's what the mayor says, exactly. Yeah, it's always a spending problem.
Yeah. No, it's a tax system that is out of whack when people at the higher margins pay a lower and lower, you know, rate compared to, you know, every blue collar worker, every nurse, every social worker, every teacher. When they're paying a rate that's even less than that, then that's a sign of a broken system, and it is not sustainable. We're talking to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO. You can hear his updates throughout the morning here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Hey, we, in our history lesson, wished a happy birthday to the folks over at Channel 7, which launched on this day 71 years ago, first as WSAU-TV and then as WSAW-TV, which they are now. And I share this only because it took until today thanks to Wikipedia, which is never wrong, so it must be the case. I never knew the story behind the logo there. Every time I'd see, you know, Channel 7 out of Wausau, they'd have that little knight in armor and all that. Then it notes here, Channel 7 originally operated from the, is it the Plumber Mansion? A Romanesque-style building on North 5th Street, which was torn down in 1972. The castle-like exterior and the suit of armor displayed in the mansion inspired the medieval-style 7 logo, along with an accompanying cartoon mascot, the fully armored knight Sir 7, which I always thought was one of the goofier TV logos ever, but it sure had staying power.
I have a brush with greatness when it comes to Sir 7.
Okay.
Back in 1991, I was going to college here at the University of Wisconsin Marathon County. And I was part of a student theater group. And we did the show Play It Again, Sam. And I had the lead part in that show. And as part of the set design, it was a bunch of old movie posters and blah, blah. And for some reason, whoever designed the set, and actually I one of my close friends designed the set, and we called up where they had retired Sir 7 as the mascot at that time.
Okay.
And Sir 7 was being held somewhere, and I don't know where. I don't know all the stories, but we called up, we got Sir 7, and we had Sir 7 on the stage in this apartment as the part of the set. So, I mean, literally, it is a suit of armor. It's about, you know, 6.5 feet tall. I mean, it's not a small, I guess you can get in there and move around, but Sir 7 is on the set, and I should post that on my social media, because I do have pictures of that where Sir 7 was right there at the top of the set, part of the show. I'd be on stage, and there would be Sir 7 right there as well.
And you know the locals all recognized it and loved it. That had
absolutely.
To be that had to be fun. Oh,
it
that's
was fun. It was great to be hanging out with Sir 7.
Yeah, no, that's great. You know, you don't see a lot of TV station mascots anymore.
No, you don't. But Sir 7, and you're right. I mean, Sir 7 is cool. I'll say that. They should never take away Sir 7. He should be out front for everything that they do.
Well, why not? If you got something like that, I mean, for there was a time when NBC, and that we're talking, you know, 70s, 80s, tried to like get rid of the peacock. You know, it's like, oh, we're too cool for the that's so 1960s. And somebody like, why wouldn't you lean into this? And they've had the peacock thing going ever since. If you've got a brand and it's working, you know, then run with it. Because
absolutely,
other places would kill for, you know, branding that has that kind of longevity. So that's great. How are you doing with high school playoffs for football? You've got to be one busy fellow this week.
Well, tomorrow night, heading down to the Milwaukee area, actually, because Wausau West plays Heartland Arrowhead, and they're very good. Mm-hmm. So, but from what I've heard, I got a friend who's a broadcaster who says, hey, that's the greatest place you'll ever go to broadcast from, because some places, sometimes you have to actually sit in the crowd, and sometimes it's very tight. And from what I've been told, it's a wonderful place.
I was going to say it's Heartland area. Yeah, it's going to be plush.
I said to him, yeah, that's the good news. The bad news is you'll see Heartland Arrowhead's football team on the other side of the field. So,
well, there is that. You know,
it's a very, very stiff test, but it's also a fun time of year. And I had a young man from Merrill High School on our big high school sports show last night and asked about, you know, level one playoffs. The playoffs are beginning. And it's such a cool thing, and their team hasn't had a home game in a while, so it's like it's very exciting for them to be at home. And it's just and now this week finally the weather's cooled down and it actually feels like football. So there's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night throughout the state of Wisconsin with the kickoff of the playoffs.
I saw a story here from Channel 13 about Altoona. Did not realize Altoona has never hosted a home playoff football game. And so they're kind of excited about that. And you know, every so often you got to remember to put yourself back in your high school shoes about what a big deal that is, not just to be in the postseason, but to be able to play in front of the home crowd and everything. So you get to see.
I bet you know this. Do you know the most famous Altoona High School football graduate?
I do not.
Fred Fuzzy Thurston.
No, of course. I actually, yes, now that you say that, I remember hearing that a very long time ago.
Many years ago, I think the only time I've ever been to Altoona, I went to a game. They were playing Mosinee, and and there was some special event, and Fred Fuzzy Thurston was actually there, and I thought that was a
sure.
cool thing. And the, and the field's named after him, so it's very, very cool.
That's right. I remember that now. This is why Art
Starr and Fred Fuzzy Thurston, both Green Bay Packer glory year figures.
This is why Art is putting on Facebook. Chad Holmes is a great reporter. I call him a local hero for all he does in the community. Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it.
Almost as heroic as Sir Seven.
Almost. Sean O'Malley is coming up next. You're up north.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Tired of yelling bingo and never winning? Grab your friends and come throw something sharper at Evolution Throwing Company in Wisconsin Rapids. Trade your lucky cards for hatchets, your daubers for bullseyes, and your stress for laughs. It's fun, it's social, and it might just become your new favorite weekly ritual. From age 8 to 80, everyone's welcome to throw down. Call 715-712-0334 to book your lane today. Evolution Throwing Company, because hitting a bullseye feels way better than hitting B12.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Taking up on that opportunity to have a free event for the family.
It's a fun one. We're already looking forward to next year, and I have no doubt that they're already planning and putting little, you know, making mental notes and everything for next year. It'll be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. Also looking forward to, I was looking forward to talking about this with you, the launching of the new mental health and children's services in Marshfield. Can we touch on that for a moment?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been providing children's services and our mental health clinic, our Opportunity for Hope is our clinic here in Rapids. And we are looking at expanding our reach there. So we can serve anyone in the mental health services through telehealth. However, there's a lot of folks that would rather see their therapist in person, you know, for outpatient therapy. So we're using our existing space in the Marshfield area, but there's some transformation we need to do to make it a more inviting, therapeutic environment for folks. So we're working on that right now. We're certified and ready to go. It's just a matter of getting that space ready and making some investment there to make sure that it feels like a therapeutic environment. But we're really excited for that. We know there's a lot of need in all of our communities for mental health resources and options there. So we're excited to get that going. Recruitment, you know, always takes a little while to make sure you're finding the right fit, getting the word out, really going through that interview process. So that's also an investment of time and resources that will be starting here soon. And similarly with the children's services, we have some space in our Marshfield area, but it needs some work to really make it an inviting space for children's services. We do after school supports in the summertime. We do daytime supports when the children are not in school. We do respite services either at our facility, in the community, or even in the family's home if they're wanting to work on some skills that we can help work on with the parents as well. And that is really just an exciting area for us because we know from the work that we do within the school districts, we know that there's just a growing need for, there's a lot more early diagnoses of children that might have some kind of special needs or some kind of extra support. And the families sometimes just don't know where to go or don't even know what's out there as an option to help them. So we're really happy to be able to fill that need. We know it's a growing need. We're getting outreach from our surrounding communities to say, hey, can you help us out with this? Mm-hmm. So we're really trying to be able to respond to those needs and grow in the areas where we know that there's the need for supports like ODC can provide.
As a society, let alone individual communities, it's been less 10, 15 years. We've really brought mental health to the forefront. We talk about it more. We're more aware of it than we've ever been as a society. And it's something we talk about in a raised voice now, not hushed voices and some of those things. But while we're there now with as a society, the ODC has been on this topic long time ago, for many, many, many years. Mental health has been important. It's integral to the work that you guys do over there in individuals' mental health. In fact, sometimes it's the main focus of the work that's being done with a client or something like that. So it makes sense, and it's so encouraging to hear of like the expansion of these things or the addition of these things. You know, adults certainly, you know, need help and everything, but focusing on kids or you know, other people that might not have services available to them otherwise. It's such a great thing to be able to see that the ODC seeing these gray areas, these blind spots again, that really could be benefited in our community.
And the neat thing about it is you're absolutely right. It's been identified for years that these were service areas that ODC wanted to grow and develop. And it took a while for that to kick off. You know, it was there and the structure was there for it. And now we're really seeing the referrals coming through and the need. And sometimes it just takes a while to get the word out that, hey, this is an offering and help is there. And we want to be able to meet those needs of the folks in our communities.
And, you know, to the point of what you were saying before about where we need to get these buildings right, we need to get them set up right and everything, I'm encouraged by that, too. It's so much of a, this is where my love of nonprofits really kicks in, where, yes, we need to keep the lights on. That's important. But our job is about people, not money. And so getting it right instead of done quickly, that's really encouraging to hear. It's all the better for these communities and our communities as a whole. That's great. Right. Kind of piggybacking off of that, going into the WAPACA expansion a little bit, how is that going?
Yeah, so we've really been talking about how do we continue to grow to ensure that we can reach the folks that need help the most, meet the needs of our surrounding communities. It's a lot easier to expand when you're talking about a neighboring, you know, a neighboring county or a neighboring community. And we've been getting outreach from folks in WAPACA saying, hey, we could really use some extra help when it comes to community supported living, when it comes to supported employment types of services. And that's a neighboring community of ours. And so it kind of was a natural space to look at growing into. And we found a beautiful office space there. It's great location and gives us really just the right amount of space that we need to kind of get things going in that area. And we really believe that when we can be physically present in an area, have staff that live there or live within a relatively close proximity, that really helps our ability to build the relationships that are critical for us to be successful. For employment services, for example, when our staff can really get to know the businesses in the community, they're able to help make really good employment matches with our clients who want to get a job in the community. If we don't know the community well and we don't know the business partners, it's a lot harder to find the right match for someone who's going to then be successful in their job. So we really want to make sure that we can have that local presence, and we're really excited that we're going to be able to have that in WAPACA and start to get the word out there as well. And again, a neighboring community. There might be folks that live in Rapids or Stevens Point that commute and work in WAPACA similarly to I work in WAPACA, but I drive here every day for work. And, you know, when you live in a small town, you just kind of, I guess I would say, I assume that there's going to inherently be some commuting when you live in this part of the state of, you know, somewhat of a rural area.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to drive a little bit for work. And, you know, you kind of don't really bat an eye at that anymore nowadays. So Again, we're excited to be there, to be local, and to continue to model what has been really successful in Rapids and other communities as well.
We talk about it a lot when it comes to business and economics and a community's economics, and no community survives on just its citizens alone. Everybody is needed of Point coming here and shopping, and us going to Point to shop, and Waupaca and these other areas. This topic is no different. This topic is just the same. There are going to be people that not only need these services that live a town over or something like that, but the one of the major missions of the ODC, of starting helping your clients get find employment, being able to look in other neighboring communities is only going to expand that
much. You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Rapids City Council approved a project to increase safety at rail crossings at the Common Council meeting on Tuesday. The project was awarded to the Milwaukee-based company LinkThings. They'll install a predictive mobility system at 14 railroad crossings throughout the city. A team from LinkThings conducted a study with 1,000 respondents in Wisconsin Rapids while creating their proposal.
What was shocking to us is 95% of the public said that they did something really unsafe when they were approaching a crossing that was about to be occupied or occupied.
The technology is intended to increase safety for the public and also help inform emergency responders when a crossing is or will soon be blocked. While Police Chief Hostins doesn't feel the added tech in their already hectic police vehicles will be helpful, Fire Chief Ben Goodrow said he saw the value for the fire department.
A heads-up display could easily tell us where a crossing is jeopardized or, based on some of the technology that they have, kind of where that train is headed.
City engineer Joe Eichstead said the installation isn't a lengthy process.
Once it's installed, it'll be up and running, and then, of course, there'll be some public information provided, you know, on how to access the app and use the app, and what do the signs mean, and how does this all work.
Signs will be posted leading up to the 14 crossings that will help drivers even if they don't have the app on their phone.
A driver doesn't have to approach the crossing to realize that it's occupied or about to be occupied.
The city's engineering department applied for and received funding through the DOT's Carbon Reduction Program. This grant is an 80-20 cost share of $548,000. The city will be responsible for a little over $109,000 of the cost. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Captain Olivia Benson of the NYPD's SVU, also known as Mariska Hargitay, really had her sights set on comedy early in her career. During a recent appearance on Amy Poehler's podcast, Hargitay said she screen tested several times for Friends, specifically the role of Monica. She was on Seinfeld and The Single Guy as well, and thought that sitcoms were her destiny until a psychic told her doing comedy would never make her famous. 6 months later, she got the role of Benson on the Dick Wolf series. The show has been on now for 26 seasons. Anybody know the number of a good psychic? Actress Elizabeth Olsen says she will no longer act in studio-financed films unless they get a theatrical release. The veteran of many indie films says she is fine acting in films that have no distribution, but says being a part of a big production just to go to streaming does not excite her. The Godzilla actress emphasized that the theater-going experience is very important and much like a sporting event, and that it brings people together. Testify. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with highs in the mid to upper 40s here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy and frosty. We are going to drop into the mid to upper 20s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
To everyone counting down the days until pumpkin season, your wait is finally over.
The salted caramel pumpkin concrete mixer and pumpkin spice shake are back at Culver's for a limited time. And because nothing beats the real thing, every scoop of fresh frozen custard is made with farm fresh dairy, and every bite is filled with real pumpkin puree. So come visit us at Culver's or order ahead in the app or online and fall in love with these pumpkin desserts all over again.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, joining us. Going to talk to the Milwaukee Public Museum about special things for Halloween and all things sports with Paul Noonan.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Hey, get yourself signed up for Civic Media's new daily newsletter, chock full of links to show highlights and much more. Head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Time for a little money in the markets after the opening bell with Sean O'Malley, with Joe Specky standing by to talk about more about what's in the news this week. But one news story I wanted to ask you about, Sean, dealt with the State of Wisconsin Investment Board. And reports that, I recall talking a few weeks back, maybe it was a couple months back, I'm not exactly sure, but that it was discovered that the State of Wisconsin Investment Board had invested in multiple cryptocurrency funds, and it was a little concerning that they'd invested $187 million, but by the end, the initial $99 million investment had grown to $321 million. And then they did the thing that, I mean, I'm no financial advisor, but even I recommend it at the time. It's like, if you're there to make money, make a little money and then get the heck out of there. What were your own impressions about the story?
Well, it's kind of interesting to talk about SWIB again after all these years. My experience goes back 21 years with SWIB to actually 2004 when I worked for the financial guarantee company that was providing the financial guarantee for State of Wisconsin Investment Board. It's interesting to see that they've gone from a much more conservative mix from what I recall back then, which was primarily municipal bonds, to ETFs that trade in crypto. I also thought their comment about, well, we're not buying crypto directly, was a little disingenuous. It's like, okay, yeah, but you're buying an ETF that invests in crypto and invests in Bitcoin. So that's sort of like saying, okay, we didn't buy any bonds, but we bought an ETF that invests in bonds. Like,
right.
You still got the bonds, guys, you know?
Right. And the State of Wisconsin Investment Board, now they manage the assets of the Wisconsin retirement system with more than 692,000 participants. And so, you know, again, I'm not saying that you have to put it in a shoebox and bury it, but it is very indicative of, you know, the financial times themselves. When you and I were growing up, you were very happy if your local savings and loan gave you 5% on your passbook savings account, and that was it. But now it's always the push for higher margins and better returns, and it was just weird to see that the State Investment Board is no different.
Yeah, and it reminds me of someone else who did something similar back in Orange County back in the mid-90s. Robert Citrone, who is the treasurer of Orange County, who invested in a series of interest rate derivatives that, of course, when suddenly interest rates went the wrong direction, Mr. Citrone's bets went bad rather significantly and nearly bankrupt Orange County. So, you know, more risk means more risk. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I'm glad that they got their money and did well and got out. Staying out, I think, is the wise move going forward.
Yeah. And of course, I can hear people all throughout the Milwaukee County talking about the pension scandal there. So there's no shortage of caution flags that are out there. And I'm glad in this instance It ended well, but that's the high risk, high reward thing. I don't know that you want your state investment board to necessarily play. Sean, thank you for the insight. Appreciate it very much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, Pat. Have a good one.
Yep. Have a good week. Let's bring in Joe Zepecki now to talk a little bit about what's happening in the news as well. Joe, I'm sure you heard that discussion, and you and I have been around state politics long enough to know, and we're familiar with things like, you know, the Milwaukee County pension situation that, I mean, I was very surprised to hear about, you know, the state investment board making a big crypto investment like that. Maybe you're a little more jaded than I am and go, it's okay. They do what they're going to do.
What is the total value of the statewide investment fund right now? Because I would say I'm not sure $187 million is actually that big a bet.
It's not. Yes, it amounted to less than 1% of their total assets, which were more than $162 billion as of last year. So, yes, that point is very well taken.
This is a lot like the obsession last week over J.B. Pritzker winning $1.4 million playing blackjack, which to you or I is like winning $500, maybe $1,000.
Yeah.
You know, the scale matters. So I don't think people should be losing their minds about that. The statewide investment board is well run. It is one of the most well respected and regarded statewide pension funds in the country. And yeah, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. And let me give proper credit. Some of these notes that I'm getting are from Ricardo Torres, a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But now let's turn to a story in the New York Times, and then a story, or an editorial rather, in the Milwaukee Courier. In both cases, I mean, if you're Mandela Barnes, the former lieutenant governor and potential candidate for governor, you got to be looking at these stories going, who did I tick off to get a story in the Times, which in which you are quoted talking more generally about the race, but that casts doubts or expresses doubts of other people on Mandela Barnes's effectiveness in 2022 running against Ron Johnson and whether he should run again for governor. And then the Milwaukee Courier editorial, which is just flat out saying, Mandela, don't run, you can't win. Mandela's not having the best week right now.
Well, let's keep everything in perspective. And one of the things that we know about Mandela Barnes is that he has never been an establishment favorite.
Right.
Frankly, he wasn't in 2022, which is why he was not given the nomination for the United States Senate. That was a crowded field with other really good Democrats in it, like Alex Lazary and Sarah Godlewski and Thomas Nelson. And despite the fact that Mandela didn't have the full, you know, support of the establishment behind him, he won that primary. And he was so far ahead that every single one of those other candidates didn't want to face the prospect of a huge loss to him and then got out of the way so it could look like they paved the way for him. And, you know, whether it's the primary challenge he ran against a sitting Democrat in the state Senate before he became lieutenant governor, or whether it's, you know, the way that he is clearly perceived by the establishment right now, he's not a guy who's ever been the favorite. And given how much frustration there is out there with the Democratic Party, I'm not so sure that's not exactly where you want to be, which is running against the establishment. So that's my first thing that I just want to remind people about Mandela's reputation over the years. He's not afraid to sort of call people out, challenge the status quo, and that might be a winning message. But before it can be a winning message, he's got to decide whether or not he gets in the race. You mentioned that I was quoted in that story, and my take on it, I'll share with listeners, which is that, you know, right now, this part of the quote they cut, but right now, Sarah Rodriguez is the leader, is the front runner in my estimation, given the amount of money she has reported raising, given the amount of financial support she has gotten commitments from outside groups like the Democratic Lieutenant Governors Association. She's in the catbird seat. That dynamic will change if Mandela gets in the race. He would be the front runner on day one, given his electoral history. And, you know, that's my opinion. It's not a fact. We don't know until we see how this thing goes. But this won't be a rerun of 2022, where for as many candidates as there were in that Democratic primary, everybody played nice. There wasn't any contrast messaging. People weren't going after one another. In a gubernatorial primary with this many candidates, this many good candidates, nobody's going to be given anything. Mandela will have to earn it. And, you know, if he decides to run, we will see what happens. But what I am, frankly, pretty tired of is this level of insider nonsense from operatives and activists who think they know better than the voters. Because if I've learned anything in the last 5 years, it's that the political class, of which I am a part, to be clear, doesn't know a darn thing about what the vast majority of Wisconsinites and Americans are going through on a day-to-day basis. If you read that, you know, that Courier thing, which is ridiculous, you know, that's clearly written by one person, and you might have noticed that there was not one name on it.
Right.
And so I don't think we need to be talking about 2022 spending and margins. I think we need to be talking about what this Trump administration is doing to farmers in northern Wisconsin. We need to be talking about what the Trump administration is doing to limit access to rural health care, how the tariff policy is hammering folks, and it's going to get worse. And we need to talk about the role of the state of Wisconsin in combating that, in standing up to an out-of-control executive branch that is infringing on states' rights and abilities to govern themselves and make their own decisions every single day. If you want to have a debate about that, if you want to criticize something that any of these candidates may have done that cedes power to the federal government rather than taking power here at the state level, let's have that debate. Let's draw contrasts there, because the polling or the fundraising from 2022 is not what puts food on the table. It's not what helps, you know, parents afford childcare in Wisconsin. So I don't have much time for nonsense like that Courier thing.
And in between all of that, by the way, tearing down part of the White House, which is not what the guy said he was going to do to put up his gilded ballroom. And again, I know that that's only symbolism, but it's not just symbolism of excess and of, you know, of grift and everything else, but it's symbolism of how, whether, again, it could be Derek Van Orden, Ron Johnson, Brian Stile, they have all just completely knuckled under in a way that you never would have heard from them pre-Trump. To them, you know, Congress was there to be part of the series of checks and balances, and now they're just like, yes sir, how high can we jump, sir? It's just depressing from a civics standpoint.
It's infuriating. Yeah. The idea that the state of Wisconsin is going to run out of money for SNAP so that working families, including some military families, mm-hmm. who don't make enough money, that so they need a little bit of help to put food on the table. In 8 days, those dollars run out, but we've got $250 million to demolish a ballroom and build it back even bigger. The idea that we've got, you know, that Trump wants $230 million from the Department of Justice for DOJ investigating him for crimes.
Oh, that's just a shakedown. Can we just call it a shakedown? That's what it is.
Yeah. And we don't have, you know, but meanwhile, we have $20 billion to give to Argentina, mm-hmm. while the United States soybean market is like collapsing in on itself. The Republican Party is making clearer than ever its priorities. They have money for their toys and for their little pet projects, but they don't have money or any interest in supporting we the people. People should be infuriated by this, not because you're not allowed to, you know, update the White House, right? It's happened before, but the idea that you get to do it without Congress, without local authorities, anybody listening to this, they try to add on to their house, they know they got to go to the village or the town or the city and get those approval. But Donald Trump doesn't think the rules apply to him, and Republicans in Congress are just going, whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. And enabling him to do what's only been done one time before, and that was the British in 1814. But anyway, we're talking to Joe Sopecki here, and on the other side of the break, we'll have some final news and notes from Lake Wissota and, you know, the Bucks. they're 1-0. We'll ask Joe how they looked as well as we talk about that and his impression of all of the No Kings rallies that took place across the state and across the country. Tomorrow, of course, it'll be Friday. We'll have our regular Week in Review guests, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, and Jennifer Scholze as well, helping follow the headlines of the day, as well as Dr. Kristen Lyerly from Pittsburgh. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over 3 decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
Hey, Mom, can I go out with my friends?
You're getting sick again? You need to stay home and rest.
Okay.
I know I can't get sick again.
No!
Oh, what? Oh, it was only a dream. I'm heading to Family Natural Foods first thing in the morning.
Family Natural Foods is there for your family with elderberry immune support from Terry Naturally. Protect yourself and don't miss another day with help from Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the Recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
All right, welcome back. It is 8:52 on a Thursday, which means Todd Alba does a little drop-in as well to join me and Joe Zepecki in talking about the issues of the day, although Mr. Alba appears to be joining us remotely from, I don't know, is that sagebrush? Are you in the desert southwest? where the heck are you?
Pat and Joe, I'm happy to be here. I'm reporting from Sun Prairie, where Jimmy the Groundhog and I are waiting to see if Dr. Jill Underley will emerge in a committee hearing today. We're seeing if that. No. I'm on my way out to Richland County, and so I stopped here in beautiful Black Earth next to the Black Creek here. So, a beautiful day. I got my Joe Thomas Hall of Fame beef hat on, because, you know, if Donald Trump was as adamant about keeping beef out of a country as he is actual Argentinians, we might have something.
Well, yeah, there is something to be said for that. So Todd will have all this and more from 2 till 4 this afternoon. Joe, you did not get a chance to watch the Bucs season opener because you're on the road for work and doing things, but you checked out the box score, Joe. How you feeling? 1-0 at this point.
The numbers that Giannis put up in just 27 minutes, look out, league. The association has not seen Giannis play like he is apparently ready to go this year. And anytime you have one of the top five players in the league, you're going to be good. Whether they've put the right pieces around him to contend, that will, you know, emerge over the net, probably the first 50 games of the season, but a very good start.
Todd, you've been so immersed in the movie No Packers, No Life, and before that, the Brewers movie. Can we get you to put on a Bucks hat for just a moment and tell us if this is the year?
I think it is. I mean, one of the cool things, I did not watch the entire game, but I mean, Joe's a much bigger fan. I wait until the season actually starts in May, and then I get excited. I thought one of the cool things the organization was the welcome video and everything they had. Welcome back for Chris Middleton. Yes. I thought that was all class, and there's a real relationship between he and Giannis, and I just thought that was really spoke well of the Bucks organization.
Yeah, again, much like the Willie Adames welcome back, it was a nice moment. We need moments like that in sports now and then. Joe, what's your impression on the No Kings marches around Wisconsin and around the country last weekend?
Incredibly moving to see so many ordinary Americans, not your typical activist, you know, like every day, every week protesters out there. The number of veterans who were out there, you know, living up to the oaths that they swore to the Constitution when they served and saying, this is not who we are. We, you know, there is nothing more American than protesting the idea of a king. And I know that some of the pushback on the right was like, Donald Trump's not a king. He won an election. And I guess my question was, No Kings doesn't have the name Donald Trump in it. No Kings is a bedrock philosophy that this country was founded on. If you are criticizing the No Kings marches and protests, I guess my question is, when did you become pro-king? Do you think we should have kings in America? And I haven't gotten a very good answer to that.
Well, it's kind of like Antifa. It's like, wait a minute, that stands for anti-fascist. Are you pro-fa?
Or do they think that the right time to protest against a monarch would be after that monarch throws out the Constitution and says we no longer have the ability to peacefully assemble and demonstrate against the government? I don't know what they want us to do.
And that is a real concern. How is the view from that of a former Republican? And again, not a Democrat, but a former Republican who spent many years at the state capitol watching Democrats and independents and some Republicans marching over the weekend, Mr. Alba?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. Exercising First Amendment rights, I think overall it gives people a sense of belonging, because I think in this world we're all stuck on devices. It's like, is anybody out there? That's a line from a musical. But I think people found out, yeah, there's a lot of people out there like us. And, you know, I'll just note the act. We had 100,000 people show up during Act 10 against Scott Walker. My former boss was the only Republican to vote against that. And he was on this committee that oversees the state capitol. And there was all this, all this damage. There was almost zero damage to the state capitol. 100,000 people showed up. And I think it just, once again, No Kings rally proves Americans could do it peacefully, joyfully, celebrate America, and rise up against, once again, tyranny 250 years later.
Yeah, well, somebody continues to prove why there's the need for these demonstrations. Todd, I know that you talk about Wonder State Coffee quite a bit, but in the comment sections on YouTube from somebody named Dylan, Todd, if you're looking for good coffee on your way to Richland County, stop at 1855 Coffee House in Mazo.
Really? I'm going to be going through there in about 10 minutes. Maybe I'll have to do that.
There you go. Did you know that there are Kreitlows in Mazo, Maine that I've never met?
Really?
Yes.
I can stop by and say hello if you want me to.
You can do some really dreadful investigative work on my behalf.
No, we're all about bringing people together, Pat. You know, I mean, so Kreitlow on Kreitlow, I mean, that'd be fantastic.
Sure. That's where we roll from here. Joe, you've got the little time there, and then you're coming back for the start of the week here. Now that the No Kings rallies are behind us and the shutdown just rolls on, I mean, I kind of feel like, how does the public not lose the momentum coming out of last weekend, and we just continue to see pain pile up from you know, this shutdown? Is it's almost a helpless feeling. Can people do anything?
Yes, they can. They can call their Republican members of Congress. There's five of them across the state of Wisconsin in the House. There's United States Senator Ron Johnson and the tens of thousands of Wisconsinites who get their health care plans through the Affordable Care Act. Next week is when open enrollment starts, and there is going to be sticker shock.
Oh, yeah.
And we need everyone to understand that the reason that Obamacare health care plans are spiking in price is because Republicans refuse to extend premium tax credits that have been on the books for years. They got $20 billion for Argentina, but they don't have enough to make your healthcare more affordable. They got $250 million for a ballroom, but they will not make your healthcare more affordable. Continue to ride them on that.
All right, Joe Zepecki, safe travels for you. And Todd, who's got the hat and the shades on, it looks like he's about to shoot an elk that's going to come up from behind him here. I mean, I don't know what hunting show I'm watching, but this is a true sportsman right here, hunting wabbits. Todd, thank you very much. Good to talk to you as well.
Always good to see you guys.
Bye-bye. All right, we'll see you later. Thanks to all of you for joining us as well. We'll see you Friday morning with our Week in Review panel, Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Mike Clemens with sports here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Arrests in the sports world today and investigations into illegal gambling. Sources tell CBS News Portland Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups was taken into custody hours after speaking to reporters about last night's loss to Minnesota.
I thought we played good enough to win. I mean, we lose one quarter of the game.
Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier arrested in an allegedly separate but related case involving players who faked injuries. Tourists in Washington, D.C. weigh in on President Trump's plan to demolish the entire east wing of the White House to build a massive ballroom.
It's a desecration, really, I think. I don't know that anybody particularly wants a big ballroom.
JFK had a swimming pool. So, you know, he's adding his touch. And it's going to be beautiful when it's done.
For the first time in 500 years, a Pope, Leo, and a King, Charles, pray together at the Vatican.
Good morning.
Welcome. It's such a pleasure to meet you.